Hey, and welcome to commentary for episode 2F14, Homer vs. Patty and Selma. Originally aired February 26, 1995. David Silverman, supervising director here.
David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
Mark Kirkland, director. This was my second Patty and Selma show that I directed.
And this is Matt Groening, batting cleanup. And so what does it mean to direct to Patty and Selma? Is that a big deal?
Well, I like the characters, and I had directed Principal Charming. And when I got these characters, they're just a fun bunch.
The great pose on Homer holding the cigars, by the way.
And that's a rare glimpse of Barfly number two in center frame.
There was a big call for him among the fans. We were overwhelmed with mail for that. Or singe, anyway.
Yeah, Homer, what you see? Those groups on the internet just started around that time.
Pumpkins?
Yeah, that's right, Barney. This year I invested in pumpkins. They've been going up the whole month of October. And I got a feeling they're going to peak right around January. And bang! That's when I'll cash in.
To Homer and the Sergeant Pepper was growing out of the middle of your back.
Barn, you gotta unwrap the plastic before you smoke these.
We enjoyed that couch gag, by the way, because it had required very little animation. None, as a matter of fact.
That's the same now, that you see in every episode.
And you notice that with that, it's almost always written in the script as flies, but we have found that a single fly does the job. That's where we save money.
I need a miracle.
We've saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is written by Brent Forrester, did a really nice job on this script. This story is interesting in the sense that it's kind of sitcom-y. In essence, it's very similar to a show that you could actually do in a regular three-camera sitcom, especially what we call the A story, the main story here. And it's challenging for us to do this. We don't do it all the time, but there's definitely a certain amount that I like to do every year, that we like to do every year, because they're more emotional stories, and they involve great subtle acting. That was a very subtle moment, for example. But it is more emotional into how the characters are feeling, and we go a little bit deeper in there. And it's a real challenge for the animator to do that kind of subtle stuff, like Homer breaking the plate on his head.
One of our favorite gags, right, Mark?
That's one of my favorite gags. One thing I like about it is the speed that it had. You know, Marge sets it up, and Homer just leans out the window, wrong, smashes the plate, and he's back in.
It's one of the things that I love about animation, too, that we can actually do things much faster than a real human can do them and have this perfect kind of timing. And that was a great example of the kind of great time you can get with a terrific director like Mark.
Here's another one coming up, David. How fast Homer falls asleep here.
The thing that's great about the plate gag, too, is that you compose a shot for just the sisters in Marge, and then Homer comes in to do his
surprise.
It's a great surprise.
He's like a cuckoo clock. He just pops out in.
And that is like what we've talked about before, the flexible reality, where we'll be very real and then have these kind of cartoony moments, you know, kind of as an accent through this thing. I've had many dreams like this, by the way, where there's just some frustrating element of the dream that you can't quite see and can't quite get to, and you just have this huge desire. And does everybody have dreams like that, or is it just me? See,
no,
Matt does not have a dream. Matt has had all his dreams come true, and nothing, there's no frustration in his life. How annoying is that, everybody?
I'm dreaming now.
I'm frustrated now.
Oh, Marge, my loyal wife.
Of course not.
And Lisa, my little princess.
You see, there are these quiet moments and nice acting with Homer. And again, a regular three-camera sitcom, the classic bit of the child turning into a rat is used all the time.
Bart was chewing up the scenery a little bit.
If you go back on that, Homer over his shoulder looking at the rat, you'll notice Homer has a smile looking at
He enjoys Bart. The fact that he has a rat boy. This bit is based on something that I actually did walking to school one day. I was walking with a friend, and we started to challenge each other who could walk slower to school. and that is what happened, and we wound up not getting there till very late, and horrible things happened to us, a little different than what happens here, but that general concept is exactly something I did. And I recommend to all children listening to this, do it once or twice. You've earned it. You deserve it. Don't listen to authority or adults.
Oh, that's a nice shot.
There's some really nice stuff here. This is our B story where Bart takes ballet. And this is a real good example of a show that has a really nice A story and a B story that fills it out really nice. And the B story is a larger story. It is a more exaggerated story than our A story is. But still, compared to a lot of Simpsons, this is very, very grounded in reality.
Ah, who needs him? I can have fun all by myself.
True and true and true.
I like these up angles, looking at the kids with the sky in the background. That's really good.
And that's Senor Wences, who I don't know if anybody knows who that is anymore, but I was a huge...
I do! I remember you.
10 years ago, everybody knew who he was.
Even then, you know. And I just love that one bit he did, and probably nobody knows who he is anymore.
No, it's P.E. sign-up day.
How could you forget? They had signs posted all over the library.
Better sign up for something fast, man. Baseball just filled up.
Oh, so did Taekwondo.
I like how bad these things are. I think that's pull-ups under there. Isn't there the pull-ups got full? Like, that would have been something that people would have definitely lined up for. Yeah, let's do pull-ups.
That was for me.
I like the way there's absolutely nobody there to take your name either, but it's okay. It's all right.
It's that boring, apparently.
By the way, the design of Principal Skinner is actually based on a caricature I did of my high school principal.
Oh. Wow. Does he know this? Now he does.
That was a dream I had, actually.
Very frustrating.
No, I think it would be, he would find it a great compliment or nightmare.
Luckily, I had a number of principals, so we don't know which one I'm referring to.
So, yes, Matt was shuttled from school to school, expelled.
Overfolds very quickly.
All right, you'll get your money.
He tries to match wits with the loan officer. It's exactly. Not a good idea.
I wish you would do it, but probably won't. Final resort to lend me money.
We'll take care of you. Yes, care.
It's a great joke. Dan does a very good job of laughing out loud for way too long.
Dan, it is one of my favorite things to have characters just laugh way, way too long or be in pain for much longer than you expect and make noise about that. So I like when those things go on. And Dan is great at that. Kelsey Grammer, when he plays Sideshow Bob, is quite the opposite. When he does that evil laugh, the hardest thing in the world for him, and he begs you not to ask him to do the evil laugh for long. And it's the one thing that's so hard for him to laugh for long periods of time in that evil way. So we make him do it again and again.
I'll have to remember that if ever.
Well, what I like about Dan's performances are that they even within the same laugh or whatever vocalism he's doing, it seems like it's a multi-act little play.
It is true. It has subtleties within. Yeah. It does.
What's that supposed to mean? It means.
There's a compelling interest.
You actually couldn't do a scene like this on television today with the new standards. That would be too upsetting.
One thing I've enjoyed about. Oh, by the way, when the color came in, Brad Bird just cracked up over the just that expression that Homer has.
The
right
frozen
there.
That is
frozen
a hilarious face. I really love this frozen smile.
I was going to say what I do love about this. Situation is just the hatred that Homer has for these two women. And they are awful.
Well, you know, again, this was, I think, probably our greatest, to this date, to this moment, exploration of his relationship with Patty and Selma and to spend this much time with them. And I would say also, and I'm sure it's probably been said before, these shows are a great challenge to Julie Kavner because she's playing three parts.
Right.
And she's playing two of those parts with these incredibly low voices that just rip your throat up after about 6 hours of this recording. But she's a trooper, and she loves doing the multiple character shows. And sometimes we add her mother in addition, and that really blows her voice out, but not in this particular one.
Today we learn the dance of the fairy queens.
I love also what the writers love to pitch jokes for Marge or Patty or Selma. Basically, everybody can do a really bad Marge.
No, they're always going like, what do you mean a bad Marge? My Marge is great!
Like, they don't pitch them in the voices of other characters, but...
Marge, we all do. Yeah. We almost never try to do Homer's voice in the room.
Because it's really difficult to...
It just always doesn't sound good, and so it's better to just sort of say what he's going to say and leave it to Dan. It's a very complicated voice to get right.
You don't want to kill the joke.
Chief Wiggum and Moe, those are easier, and Marge. But like Bart, nobody can come close to, and Lisa, nobody can come close to, so...
Is that the show where Bart gets to be a queen or a fairy? Is that the...
That's correct.
One of my favorite lines.
As he said, yeah, it's not for sissies now. You're either a queen or a fairy, yes.
I want to mention this character was played by Susan Sarandon. And when we designed her, it wasn't at all asked for, but we decided to make it just look a little bit like Susan Sarandon. Not a dead ringer.
That's right, that's
but
right.
Just a reminder. Just a little bit.
And I think you...
We actually try to do caricatures of specific people that you look a little bit.
A little
like
bit.
Them, right?
This has just the right amount. It's one of my favorite ways to use a great actor, which is to actually give them a character in the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had known that she wanted to do the show. I was a big Susan Sarandon fan. And again, the great secret of getting an actor to do a show like that is her kids were enormous fans of the show.
Right, right.
And she actually brought them to the record session so she could be a big shot. I mean, that's always the goal, because she does all these brilliant movies and wins all these awards, has no creed with the kids until they do The Simpsons. Then that really puts them over the top, and they know that. And the day we recorded this, New York, she was recorded in New York, had one of the greatest traffic jams in the history. And so she was incredibly late. You know, we sent a car to pick her up. And it just got caught in traffic, and it took, you know, like an hour to like go like a mile. And they brought her to the wrong studio after all that.
Man. Oh, wait. Sorry to interrupt. This is one of my favorite scenes.
Well, go on, jump, Homer, jump. What's going on?
I love this. I love where the IOU ends up.
What paper? Homer, is this projection accurate? Did you borrow money from my sisters?
I don't know, Mark. I keep track of all my wheelings and dealings.
He blew all your savings on jack-o'-lanterns.
But anyway, yes, yeah, so she's about 2 hours late and not happy that she's brought to the wrong place. And then she has to go to all through the traffic all over again. But she was such a pro that, you know, within a couple of minutes, she was totally into character. She was totally hilarious. She worked really hard on the accent. She's very proud of the accent. You know, it's a very accurate Russian accent. And she was just hilarious. And she knew she was doing good when she would look over and see her kids laughing. So that made her very happy.
Wow. On a more mundane note, there's some really interesting angles that we don't do anymore on the show. Some really not quite straight on, unlike... Well,
we looked to do that, like slowly lowering and raising the horizon line.
Yeah.
Makes me seasick. Everything should be.
That's where we stopped.
I think we missed the line that I wanted to ask you about, David, where Marge asks, are we in fiduciary trouble? And I love it when The Simpsons in the dialogue of Marge, an everyday person, and suddenly it's like, grab the thesaurus. What did she say? But it's just a funny word.
Completely based on just the knowledge that voice saying fiduciary was going to be funny. And again, that was probably pitched in the room. Fiduciary! You know?
Right.
And that'll get a laugh among everyone, and we realize that, you know, you're not expecting it. They usually speak in very, very plain language.
Plain language.
And then that voice suddenly speaking like that. And Marge is a little formal in her speaking, so when she jumps into that, it's kind of fun. It always does.
It's colorful dialogue. It's a colorful word.
It is.
I also noticed, is this projection accurate?
Yes. That's another one. We'd like to take a moment that would normally be very, very emotional and then kind of pull it back and make the description of it incredibly formal. Is something wrong with that and therefore funny? So for all you people that like jokes to be explained to death why you may be laughing, Basically, if you're ever wondering why I'm explaining a joke, it's for all you idiots out there who didn't get it, okay? People were too stupid to laugh. I'm explaining why you should laugh, and if you don't laugh, it's your fault. You're dumb, okay? That's all we're trying to say.
And wait till you hear him after he's been drinking.
And to the listeners, I'm after. Sorry I got David going.
It's all very well done.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the way that that Mark got Bart from not being a dancer into, I think, a believable version of dancing. I also love our implication that even if you have a body like Bart, which is not really a very good body, you could be a wonderful ballet dancer. Don't let that stop you, kids. If you're a little overweight, if you got a belly, you can still get out there and blow them away.
The first thing I did when looking at the storyboards was figure out who on my team knows anything about dance. And then I assigned those scenes to anybody who knew something.
I see.
And in some cases, we had a layout artist. Sandra Roy did some of that because she had done some dancing.
Very good. And she did call me to ask for some pointers because I still am in the ballet on the side. Yeah. I mean, this is still the main thing I do. But I wish you guys could see me. It's pretty amazing. This was a thrill.
Yeah, this was an incredible honor and thrill for everyone who worked on the show because we're all huge fans of Mel
Huge
Brooks.
Mel Brooks fans. And the way we first met Mel is we did a show with Anne Bancroft, which was that last season?
Yeah, that was another one of mine.
Is that last season or this season?
It's coming up. We have yet to do it. It's actually out of order.
Fear
of Flying, and she plays the psychiatrist.
Yeah, Anne Bancroft, Mel's wife, plays the psychiatrist. They've been married forever. They're still married. And when Anne came to do the show, and I'm a huge Anne Bancroft fan from The Graduate, just worship her. We'll talk about her later. Mel came along. He walked into the room with her, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she goes, "I can't get rid of him." That's what she said. And Mel was actually sitting next to me while I was directing Anne, and he was also directing her. And I loved that he did that, you know. And I told him I didn't mind at all as long as I could sit next to him at his next movie and yell out directions. And he let me do that, by the way, which was very, very sweet of him. And at that point, I realized since he came that he was dying to do the show. And we found this part for him playing himself, and he was just a joy to work with. And he is a hilarious guy and an enormous influence on everyone at The Simpsons and pretty much everybody in comedy. You know, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, the producers, you just don't get any better than that.
Yeah. This is a real nice character turn.
You know, again, the point of The Simpsons in general, I think the entire series and the point that I've tried to get across and I think that Matt loves to get across, don't try, people. Don't go beyond what you are. Don't just go with the flow. Anytime you try to change, you're going to get the crap beaten out of you, and we'd like to make that point very clear. And this is the Star Wars ripoff moment. But of course, we have to make sure on The Simpsons that moment does not work. And it only hurts Bart seriously. And this is actually one of my favorite jokes.
Yeah.
They just say, as long as he's hurt.
The gentle poke with a stick is good, too.
We always wonder, how did Lisa get down in that chasm so fast? But...
Well, his sister's in much better shape than he is. Even with all the ballet training, she can jump around much better.
Just leave me here when I clearly need medical attention.
It's a nice
mole man.
Mole man's in line. He's alive again, ladies and gentlemen. He keeps coming back. You know, people can say it's negative that we keep killing mole man, but it's actually very hopeful that he continues to rise.
It's our attitude about reincarnation, isn't it?
Totally. Totally.
You can't
actually, that's
kill
a traditional cartoon device where, you know, the cat gets his head blown off. And
this is nice acting.
Scene is just fine. That's Mole Man's our Wile E. Coyote.
He is.
A lot of resurrection in cartoons.
No, that's sarcasm.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice acting between Marge and Homer. A lot of good emotion and a lot of subtle emotion. Like I said, even though this is in some ways a less complicated show than a big giant one, it's more difficult because it's depending on all the subtlety in the acting and in the emotions.
Minus 1 point.
Nagging the driver, minus 10 points for you.
Homer was a lot smarter back in these days.
You know, he has, just like we, I guess we have a flexible reality, he has a flexible IQ. I think he has a certain type of brain malady that it kind of goes up and down. You know, I certainly know that feeling. Mostly the down
when you
part.
Listen to the Simpsons arguing, it usually sounds like kid logic, you know.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Yeah, they really enjoyed hitting the fail buttons.
It's a lot like sex, apparently.
Well, somebody called that a post-coital cigarette.
That's basically what the idea was behind it.
Because that is precisely the kind of infraction.
In casting or drawing this character, we kind of gave her mannish proportions, like just to be a threat to Patty and Selma.
So you're saying women can't be a threat? That's very unfortunately
She's a big woman.
Correct. Okay. All right. We'll get
it's some. Very
others.
Sad, Marge.
See, this is really nice the way Homer feels, and Alf Clausen did a nice job in the music there.
Wait a minute. Those are you.
Like the restraint that he's not going to do it. Oh, I'll go for it.
He takes a look at his wife, and you know, it's fun again. You know, people always ask that, and this is a good example of it. What keeps the two of them together, Homer and Marge? And you know, he just really loves her, and when he really understands what she's feeling, the problem is he often doesn't understand. Misunderstands what everyone's feeling, but when he really gets it, he can't help but do the right thing. And that's what's moving and right about the relationship.
And to Marge, Homer, as she stated earlier in the show, he is a complicated man.
That is very true.
We're sorry. If there's anything we can do to make it up...
Call up the dead?
Or say, you pass your driver's test.
Call up the dead?
A little bit wall-eyed there. Perfectly wall-eyed, isn't he? They're just left there.
We do a lot of running outdoors, hard door slamming, and then taking off. And we've actually shortened it in recent years where we don't even do the car slamming. The door slamming.
You just hear it.
Yeah, just run, step, 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 and then...
A lot of times we do it at the end of the show because we're so embarrassed by that point that we do want to get the hell out of there. It's a good idea to run away. Now, as we're speaking, Mark is actually taking our pictures. So this is a weird thing. You know, maybe we'll put this artwork into the DVD somehow. And
it should go into the DVD.
It'll go into the DVD.
Absolutely.
And you'll actually see what we look like. This is the moment. This is the moment.
Excellent. You're next.
Okay, I'll do it.
Now,